Election College, Episode 69, The Election of 1980. In this episode, Ronald Reagan finally gets a shot.
Let's throw a political party. Face it, the political scene sucks, but did it always? It's time for Election College, and class is in session. Now, your hosts, Jason Goff and Ben Smith.
Jason, we've just come off the craziest election ever, right? Something like that, at least. I mean, it was during the bicentennial of the nation, so it was kind of exciting. And Jimmy Carter, he is currently our president here in early 1980, right?
Yeah.
But it's time for a new election.
Oh, already?
Yeah, already. 4 years later, it goes fast.
Sure does.
In the podcast world.
Yeah. I tell you what. Man, what a rough 4 years. It's been nuts, Ben. You got all kinds of crazy things going on. I mean, Iran is just absolutely crazy because you've got really one of our biggest oil suppliers saying, hey, United States, we're in the midst of a huge upheaval. You see, the Shah, who was an ally to the United States, flees the country because the opposition leader, the Ayatollah Khomeini, he's like, okay, I'm done being in exile. I'm coming back to Iran. I'm going to establish an Islamic Republic and screw you, America. I'm going to start charging more for oil. And yeah. People are waiting in gas lines here. There's all kinds of crazy energy shortages. The reputation of America is really taking a hit. You've got people in Iran burning American flags, burning effigies of Carter. It's just, it's pretty rough.
Yeah, not only is the perception of the nation across the world going down, but the perception of Jimmy Carter, President Carter, across the world, and especially across the United States, is going down just largely because the news is just portraying him, and rightfully or unrightfully so, as kind of unable to do anything about it. And there's a hostage crisis in Iran, and of course that makes the news quite often. And they just won't turn him over, and it's just things aren't going the nation or the nation's way, or Jimmy Carter's way, for that matter. And not to mention, like, we're in a period where there's not a lot of economic growth. There's pretty high inflation at this point. Interest rates skyrocket. Energy crisis. Gas crisis. People's pocketbooks are hurting. And of course, that never bodes well for the guy in charge at the moment.
Yeah. So the peanut farmer from Georgia, it's a rough go. So rough that, hey, let's just dive in and talk about the Democrats. You've got three major candidates. You got Carter, and then Ted Kennedy is like, dude, I'm throwing my hat in the ring. And then Jerry Brown, Governor Jerry Brown from California, he throws his hat in the ring.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Ted Kennedy previously had declined to run for president or vice president position. And now he's kind of like, all right, I'm all in. Let's do this. During the campaign, there was a lot of mudslinging, name calling, and Ted Kennedy had kind of a checkered past. So a lot of those things came up multiple times. And probably, in my opinion, even though there was not a great perception of him beforehand by many people, and some people there were, I think that this particular campaign kind of soured his public opinion on Ted Kennedy for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the party really is in trouble at this point because Carter is getting the blame for all the stuff that's going on with the energy crisis and the hostage crisis and all of that. And the Democrats are like, hey, remember Muskie? Yeah, our friend from like a decade ago, right? Well, he's the Secretary of State. And there's this movement to get Muskie into the party nomination. But that just doesn't work out. It's kind of interesting, though, because Muskie was actually polling even with Ronald Reagan at the time. And Carter was like 7 points behind. So let's go, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's got to hurt for real. It's going to be a shot to the ego. And but the Draft Muskie movement didn't quite make it. But I still hear that phrase. Oh, every couple months, I think I hear it come up in some way or another. So we go into the convention. Ted Kennedy has been defeated in 24 of the 34 primaries. And Carter's got 60% of the delegates pledged to him, first ballot. But Kennedy's like, no, I'm going to keep riding this thing out. Why not?
Yeah. So they get to the convention. And Kennedy just can't. He can't do it. He's trying to do all the finagling that he can do. And it just doesn't work out. So Carter was renominated. Walter Mondale's like, hey, I've had a fun time being VP. Let's do it again. So Carter gives this stirring acceptance speech. I added stirring. It was a speech. And Carter's like, warning country, Reagan is very conservative. And this is a threat to world peace. And if you are a fan of the New Deal, if you're a fan of LBJ's Great Society, if you're a fan of social programs, then beware, because Reagan is going to take all of that away from you.
Yeah. Speaking of Reagan, maybe we should jump on over into the Republican primary and Republican candidate, I suppose I should say. We've got a packed house here, folks. We've got, 10 or so people all throw their hats in the ring saying, I'm going to be president now. And it's a lot of names that you'll definitely recognize. I mean, we've got Ronald Reagan, which we have heard of Ronald Reagan. We've got George H.W. Bush. I'm sure many of us have heard of him. John Connolly, Bob Dole. We talked about Bob Dole a minute ago. John Anderson. And then probably some other Harold Stazen, some other names you'll definitely recognize as well. But there's like just a bunch of them just piled on here. Seizing the opportunity.
Yeah. You know how I'm just going to jump a little bit ahead in time, but it doesn't have anything to do with elections. You know, girls with the big hair in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
I think they were just following the big hair from the guys.
Yeah.
These guys are carrying some heavy, heavy hair load.
Well, they just weren't balding, I think, is the biggest part of it.
Maybe. Bob Dole looks like Bob Dole, and Ronald Reagan looks like Ronald Reagan, and George H.W. Bush. Yeah. And maybe that's the thing. The shorter the hair, the more likely you were to win. But woo-wee. Big hair.
Yeah.
That was free, definitely. Everybody.
That was totally... that monthly payment you've been making on this show, don't worry, we're not going to jack it up because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ronald Reagan, he's the favorite. Pretty much everybody sees him coming in. He pretty much basically almost barely didn't beat Gerald Ford, the incumbent, in the last election primary cycle. So first round, he gets the nomination, and then he picks... George H.W. Bush for running mate. I mean, sorry, we just cut right to the chase there. Sorry about that, but it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. So you got some other things going on. People were rejecting this idea of conservatism, or at least what you would say Ronald Reagan's conservatism. But you still had people who were like, man, Carter's it's just a disaster. So you had John Anderson, who was running in the Republican primary. He's like, I'm going to run as the moderate candidate, more of a traditional Republican. That didn't go too far. You had the Libertarians. They nominated Ed Clark and they're like, let's do it. Go libertarians.
Yeah, and the libertarians in this election actually get a substantial amount of votes, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But it's kind of the first big third party, well, especially libertarian presence that you see in these elections. So interesting. The Socialist Party of the United States of America also had a candidate, David McReynolds, for president, and then Sister Diane Druffenbrock for vice president. And McReynolds was actually the first openly gay man to run for president, and which that would be surprising for sure. But even I find even more surprising, Druffenbrock is the first nun to be a candidate for a national office in the United States. And nothing. I don't know there's anything wrong with that. I just was when I found that out, was pretty astonished. I wouldn't think that nuns or monks would want to be in the national office as part of their kind of vows. But what do I know?
It's like they get the diversity award for this election,
for sure. And they're socialist on top of that. So
right. You have the Citizens Party, and they're like, hey, Barry Commoner, come be our president. And LaDonna Harris was the vice presidential candidate. And interestingly enough, she's a Comanche Native American.
Yeah. Man, here's my favorite one, Jason. Remember Joe Walsh, the guy who sang Life's Been Good?
Yeah.
He's a, you know, rock star. For sure.
Yeah.
He kind of creates a mock campaign to have everybody write him in. And he promises that if he wins, his national anthem, well, not his national anthem, the national anthem for the country will become Life's Been Good. And, you know, I don't think he was serious, of course, because he wasn't even old enough to run. But he wanted to raise awareness that there was going to be an election and get people out to vote. Who knows if it did any good or not, but it was at least humorous.
Yeah. It's like the original Rock the Vote.
Yeah. Joe Walsh, everybody.
Yeah. So the campaign, you got Carter versus Reagan. They're doing their thing. You got Anderson, who we mentioned earlier. He's thrown his hat into the ring as the independent. And you got some realignment going on here because Carter is basically scared to death that he's going to lose the election because, well, he's not very popular. So he's running this attack campaign and he's like, this is going to be horrible. Reagan's just going to drive us into the pit. Reagan's like, we already are in the pit. So you got them going back and forth. And it's kind of interesting because the federal election laws capped the amount of money that you could spend. So both Carter and Reagan received almost $30 million each, and they were not allowed to spend any other money. So at this point, if you're into the advertising thing, you're praying that you work for a TV company because that's where the bulk of ad money was spent, and that was all you could spend.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, well, neither candidate is terribly popular. I mean, there's certainly a disagreement with the way Carter's running things, like Jason said, but some analysis said pretty much both Carter and Reagan are perceived negatively by the majority of the electorate, which is not a great thing. And actually sounds familiar, actually.
All right.
But it's not the first time, and it probably won't be the last. So there are several big groups of voters that you need to kind of win over. And one of them is the Christian vote and the moral majority. If you've heard of Jerry Falwell, you're familiar with the moral majority. And they really kind of got behind Reagan, along with many people who were strong conservatives, and threw a lot of the vote that way. And that kind of swung things. And when those votes, even though Reagan was leading slightly beforehand, Reagan's ratings really went up high in the polls. And of course, that creates a snowball effect that just kind of prodded him along a little further.
So with the moral majority and all of Falwell's followers really going for Reagan, he secures 2/3 of the white evangelical vote. And this really is a shift, because you had Carter playing that evangelical, that he was the voice of evangelicalism, at least on the political side. He was the guy you would vote for if you were a Christian. And you have the leader of evangelical Christianity basically saying, nope, we're pulling our support. We're voting for Reagan.
Yeah, and Jason mentioned earlier the limits on what they could spend. But it, that doesn't always mean that's the limit of what can be spent, because Jerry Falwell purchased, well, a group headed by Jerry Falwell, purchased $10 million in commercials on the Southern radio and television. And Carter said, they basically branded me as a traitor and said I was no longer a Christian. And if you're familiar with the South, you know that the majority of people in the South claim to be Christians. So it's certainly a big thing to be backed by the Southern vote, and especially by Jerry Falwell.
So at this point, if you're Barry Goldwater, you were wishing that you would have run in 1980 as opposed to 1964. Because what happens is people are either abandoning politics altogether, or they're switching parties, because it was a popular thing to play the Christian card up until this point, no matter what party you were in. But now it's very much a thing of, well, are you a conservative Republican or are you a liberal Democrat? And that I can remember in subsequent elections, even, I don't want to get too far ahead, but the L word, the liberal word, was not something that anybody really wanted to carry. And this shift is very evident in 1980, where people are like, you know what? I'm conservative on social issues, and the Republican Party is the one that I'm going to support.
And I think that's carried over into modern day, of course, as anybody who's familiar with the current political climate would say, for sure. But we don't want to spoil that for you. We'll get there eventually. So the 1980 presidential campaign has one presidential debate, and it actually gets held very shortly before the election, 1 week before the election. And pretty much going into the debate, everybody thinks Reagan has 2 to 3 points over Carter. And by the time the debate's over, Reagan's a lot further ahead by far.
Yeah, you've got Jimmy Carter, just he's not very slick. And you've got probably one of the, I mean, dare I say, Reagan is trained as an actor. He knows how to work the cameras. He knows how to give a speech. He knows how to be quick with these lines. And they're going back and forth. And in the closing part of the debate, Reagan looks into the camera and asks the viewers, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And he goes on this thing that's just all of these questions about, do you feel that you're safer than you were 4 years ago? Is it easier to buy things in stores as it was 4 years ago? Do you feel that America's reputation is better than it was four years ago? And the viewers are just like, oh, come to think of it, no.
So President Carter had criticized Reagan's record, and Reagan had voted, at least in some capacity, against Medicare, against Social Security. And President Carter asked about it, and Governor Reagan says, there you go again. And if you're familiar with much political speak, or they've even done it, this shows the time we're recording this, but in the most recent Republican primary debate that I can recall, Marco Rubio used the term, there you go again, multiple times. And I just heard commentators all over the place that, you know, hearkening back to President Reagan when he was in the debates with President Carter. And just that line, for whatever reason, there you go again. It's not even an original saying, but it just became like the ultimate put off, because even if somebody had never said something before that, by saying there you go again, you make them sound as if they're repeating themselves. And so this tactic kind of catches people off guard. So All that to say, Ronald Reagan was definitely knew what he was doing in this debate.
Yeah. So you have the NRA, the National Rifle Association. You know them?
Mm-hmm. Familiar.
Yeah. For the first time, they endorse a presidential candidate. And they're like, we're backing Reagan. And so if you're the gun people, you're going to vote for Reagan, right? And if you're more in favor of gun control, you're going to vote for Carter, theoretically. So you ready to talk about the results?
I think I am, Jason.
So it's the first Tuesday in November, November 4th, 1980. And Reagan beats Carter by almost 10 percentage points with the popular vote.
Yeah, and Republicans had gained control of the Senate. They got 25 years of defeat overturned, pretty much. And that's definitely also a big thing in this election. But the Electoral College in the presidential vote was a landslide. And 44 states, 489 Electoral College votes swing towards Reagan, and only 49 votes towards President Carter.
Yeah. So this loss was the worst performance of an incumbent president since Herbert Hoover lost to FDR back in 1932. Keep in mind, that was the Great Depression. So Reagan even picked up areas that were traditionally Democratic. So there you have it. It's President Reagan.
And future president. I mean, George Herbert Walker Bush as VP.
So, Ben, you know what really makes me feel awesome?
Coffee. I know that when you have coffee, you're enjoyable.
I love a good cup of coffee. And by the fifth cup I have each day, I'm singing a song. No, I don't drink 5 cups of coffee. But what does make me feel like I just did drink 5 cups of coffee is when I head over to iTunes and I see that there is a new review. And really, it only takes a few seconds to hop over to iTunes, leave us a star rating, and it means so much to read your good reviews.
Absolutely. And it also means a lot to us when you talk to us on the internet, mostly because we don't know you in real life, so the internet will have to do. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Election College, and we love it just when people comment or ask questions or further talk about an episode we've done. It's great to have those kind of interactions, and we'd love to hear from you on one or all three of those platforms.
Yeah, and don't forget that we do have an Amazon affiliate link that helps us support the podcast, so if you do any shopping on Amazon, why not give us a little boost by visiting electioncollege.com/Amazon. You won't see any difference, but we certainly will, and we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, and if you don't want to remember that link, just look in the show notes. It's right there for you. Real easy. All right, Jason, I think that's everything. We will see you all next time.
See you later.